This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Oh, praise God. We will rejoice in this day, man, because He has made it. Amen. It's tough today. Jan, I appreciate you praying, by the way. Jan said, who's preaching? I said, me. She said, I'm going to give you some strength and pray for you and lift you up. But it's tough. And that's why I got that. This is the day which the Lord has made, out of the way, because we will rejoice in it. Our brother Dwayne is gone. He is in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And man, we're going to celebrate his life this coming Saturday, 2 p.m. here at Prayer of Faith. But it's tough today. It's tough today. And I know Michelle needs our prayer. She needs our support. She needs our encouragement. Because like many who have lost a loved one, she's upset with God today. I was upset when my father passed away. I pray that you all don't wander like I did for many years. But we tend to be upset with God. But in the midst of that, we can still rejoice. Kish, as you said, he had questions. He's getting those answers right now in the presence of our Heavenly Father today. And I pictured Dwayne up there. When it said about 3,000 were added. Lord, I majored in accounting. I had a master's degree in accounting. Could you tell me exactly how many? Because I just got to know exactly. Because it's around 3,000 doesn't work for me. But I need to know. Adonijah, come on up here. With August, happy Father's Day. One of our newest fathers.
My family has an announcement to make this morning, and unfortunately my wife is not here this morning, but we're having another baby. We were going to tell this week, announce it this week, but when we heard about Dwayne, we decided to postpone it till the following week. We didn't want to take from Dwayne or Michelle, and so this morning, Adam approached me and asked if I'd be willing to announce to the church publicly about Dwayne is with the Lord now, but it's also new beginnings. And we're very thankful for the support that you have given us with this one, and we love you. We're very thankful of this church. Thank you, guys.
Praise God. Thank you, Adam. I just... And I thought, again, he said, I don't want to take away. And I appreciate that attitude so much. And I said, I think it's important that our church hears, as death comes, so does life. And there's this circle that continues and continues. Good grief, I look around and see you guys and just see you growing up. And next thing you know, August will be looking like those young men. By the way, those young men were helping last week as we did communion, or 2 weeks ago with communion, just helping clean up by having those trash cans. And thank you. That's so important. I was going to look around. Where's Andrew? Where did he slip off to? Oh, that's all right. I was just going to say, no, that's all right. Andrew started out, same thing, gatekeeper of the church. And so our young men and our young women start young and grow up. So we're very excited for that. And I thought it was important that our church continue on to hear that news that you plan on doing. So, man, definitely blessings for you, Adonijah, and Jennifer. She's home right now. Happy Father's Day coming soon. That goes for you too, Austin. Coming soon. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 15. That's where we'll start today's message. And today's message is, I am well pleased. I am well pleased. I guess I better open my own Bible, huh? I didn't memorize a scripture, unfortunately, so I better crack that thing open. But Romans chapter 15... And we're going to read verse 1 through 13. And it says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So when we look at the message title, it says, I am well pleased. We're going to talk about who is well pleased and what are they pleased with. But this says, we should not please ourselves. Verse 2 says, we should all please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Oh, goodness. I'd kind of like to do something for myself to build myself up. But this gives us direction. We should all please our neighbors to build them up. It's about them. And it's about others. Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. There is our example. Everything he did was to please his Father. For even as Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures. Oh, church, there's where we find our endurance, in the scriptures. It's important that we know this book so we can find those things that help sustain us and help lead us and help guide us and help correct us. So that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, that we might have hope. I read something last week that says, hope is hard to grab hold of, but it's impossible to grasp without faith. If we don't have faith, how can we hope for anything? Verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other. Why? The same mind that Christ had. So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is giving us step-by-step instructions of where these things come from and why we should grab hold of those. May the God who gives endurance. The scriptures have it, we read it, but God gives it. And he gives encouragement. And he says right here, pray that he gives you the same attitude of mind towards one another. Then in verse 7 says, accept one another. I got to tell you, in this day and age, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Now, Christ accepted me when I was a perfect young man. I was a mess. That's probably when Christ accepted and found most of us. And when we accepted him and he accepted us, we were probably not in our best place. Now, that's not the case for everybody. But accept one another then just as Christ accepted you. Why? In order to bring praise to God. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. If we accept one another and bring praise to God through those things, that is what's important. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, and one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. Now listen to this. We read this fairly recently. May the God of hope. Now we know where our hope comes from as well. But we said it's impossible to grab hold of that without faith. May the God of hope in verse 13 fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Again, faith. Why? So that you may overflow, have an abundance of. He wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. He says right here, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life and we give the Holy Spirit control, all of a sudden that changes our mindset. That changes our heart and what we feel and hear. And it changes our mouth and our speech and the way we speak and the way we speak to one another. Now Jesus, when we look at verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. Remember Jesus, when he was about 12 years old, his family each year went to the festival of the Passover. And they went there and they were heading back. And what did they do? You got Jesus? No, I thought you had Jesus. Have you guys seen Jesus? They lost Jesus. And they went back and found him in the temple. And what did Jesus say? He said in Luke 2:49, said, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? He was about his father's business even at 12. I got to tell you, at age 12, it was all about my business and my playing with my toys and my cars and my G.I. Joes or whatever it was. It wasn't all about being in my father's house. But for Jesus, who was different, even at a young age, it was not about him. It was about his father and doing his will and what pleases him. Jesus spent his life pleasing his father. Amen? All right. So, many of us have spent years and years and years trying to please our parents or our father, and to no avail. We've worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. We were dejected. We were denied. We were depressed. Needless to say, we may have been unsuccessful at trying to please our Father here on earth. When I say Jesus spent his life pleasing his Father, I'm talking about his Father in heaven, not necessarily his earthly Father. Now, I'm not saying don't pay attention to what your parents are telling you. Even for us older folks that have parents still around, I'm not saying forget them, they're not important. We still want to please them. But we hear stories all the time of people working and working. And I went to school and I got this degree because my dad wanted me to, and he expected, and he said, and if you don't do this, you don't amount to anything, and blah, 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 blah. And we're trying to please our Father. And we can't do it here on earth. Now, maybe we had good parents, maybe we didn't. Maybe our fathers were around, maybe they weren't. For a variety of reasons. But I'm talking about pleasing your Father in heaven today. Now, I may not be pleased with everything my children do. Okay? But I can tell you, I love them. I love them. I debated on whether to tell the story for the embarrassment of my children, my wife, or anyone, but I'm going to tell it anyway. And it's not a bad thing. It's not even embarrassing. It was just a realization that I had, and it was a couple months ago. Is Austin up there? Is he ducking? Okay, good. That's all right. Oh, his head just popped up. So, I am Austin's biological father. I'm Spencer's stepfather. I came to one day, and I sat and I laughed. I said, oh my God. And he said, what? I said, I just came to. I'm Spencer's stepdad. I forgot. Man, I forgot he has a father. I just, because that's the role I play, and he has a father that's in his life. But I thought, that's the love I have for my son, Spencer, and my daughter, Brittany. Stepdad doesn't mean anything to me. I just simply laughed and I said, oh my gosh, I forgot they had a dad. Because they're my kids to me. I always respect their dad that he has, you know, that's their kids. I get all that. But I'm saying that our father's the same way. He says, man, you orphans, you're mine. Sons and daughters, come to me. You are mine. I have adopted you. And you will now be heirs in everything that I have. You are heirs along with Austin and Brittany and everything that I have. Love so undeniable, that song says, that our Father has for us. And I have that for my kids and my family. While we may not be pleased with the things that our children do, we can love them. By the way, I'm just going to say for the record, our children may not be pleased with the things we do. Let's just throw that out there. Let's be safe. My mother's 87 years old, 87 and a half. I assure you, she isn't pleased with everything I've done, but she loves me still. You too are lovable and pleasing to the Father. And I don't know what everybody's background is, and I don't know where you are with your parents necessarily, but I can tell you this, your Father in heaven loves you undeniably. And He's pleased. He's pleased. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, verse 29... And Jesus, of course, is in front of the Pharisees. And, you know, do you think there's a dispute going on? Oh, yeah, there's a dispute. There's always a dispute when the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes are involved with the disciples and or with Jesus and or with his followers. And in John 28, verse 29, he says, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone." Church, we are not alone. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him. Now that sounds easy. We can say, oh my gosh, I can't say it. No, it's in red. That means who said it? Jesus said it, the perfect one. Okay, so He said, for I always do what pleases Him. But He's our what? Example? We're to be His ambassadors. We're to be witnesses of Him. And what He can do in our lives. What did Jesus do for you? He adopted me. I've got a Father. My wife and I went down to Falls Creek several weeks ago looking at a cabin. And we talked to a young pastor there. And he took this, we'll say troubled young lady down there to Falls Creek. And had this older gentleman that went down there as a sponsor. And when I say older, very old. And he said this young girl got down there, was a little rambunctious. And then she sat down with that old man. And they went out and they just sat on the steps. And she said, "Well, what's all this about?" And he took the time to tell her what it's all about. And in tabernacle service that night, she accepted Jesus Christ. And she jumped up and down and said, "You've got a Father?" She said, "Are you kidding me? Mom, I found out I have a dad. And He's in heaven and He loves me." That's what we should be like. And that's what we should be teaching our young people and our adults. We have a Father in heaven and He loves us. Man, my biological father, he's been dead 33 years. But my Father in heaven is alive and He loves me. And my father loved me to pieces. No family members here. He loved me more than any of the other kids. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Until someone else shows up in my family. But my Father in heaven loves me even more than my father did. More than my mother does. And that young lady was shouting it to the heavens, "I have a Father." She'd never known her father. And she said, "I now know who He is. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him." The example has been set. The bar has been set. It's up to us to follow that example. Let me go back just a moment to what I just read. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. We should all please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. They, them, not us. When we do that, we strengthen our community. We strengthen our relationship with our Father. We strengthen our church universally. And we strengthen our neighborhoods. Could you imagine neighbor looking out after neighbor? Looking out after neighbor? Your grass is tall. Let me call the city. Yeah, the grass is tall. Their grass is tall. Let me go mow it. Neighbor looking after neighbor. When Jesus faced the Pharisees, he knew the challenges he was going to see. I mean, he heard it time and time again. But he said earlier on in verse 12 of John chapter 8, he said, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Those that are walking with Jesus now have the light of Jesus Christ. They no longer walk in darkness. But it's so much more than that. Our job doesn't start with just acknowledging that. We continue on through reading the Word and understanding. Remember when I first started, and it says, these things are found in the Scripture. This is where our hope is found, and our encouragement is found in the Scriptures, and it comes from God. When Jesus was baptized, I remember when I baptized Austin. I cried through that. And I said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. You know, did all that stuff. Man, that's nothing. That's nothing when the Father spoke to Jesus. And it says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven opened up. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I want us to think today of this on this Father's Day. Jesus saw the heavens opening up. And he heard the audible voice say, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now maybe none of us have heard that from our Father. Or our grandfather, or our stepfather, or a father figure. But I want you to think just for a minute today. Can I ask you to do me a favor? Can you close your eyes? Close your eyes for just a moment. If you're watching on Facebook, do the same. Close your eyes as we do this. And I just want you to think. That's all I want you to do. I want you to think. What is it that your Father in heaven would say to you? And he could say, Adam, I am well pleased in this. And I want you to think in your mind with your eyes closed and think what that is. And I know immediately you may think of all the things that he may be disappointed in. Don't. Remove those. I want us to focus on the things that he is well pleased in. And the Father in heaven is speaking to you and he says, I am well pleased with you for this. Now, it could be something that you've done, you're doing, or that you are about to do or really need to change. But I want you to focus on that, because every now and then we need validation. And we need validation that our Father loves us and is well pleased. Now let's open our eyes. And I want you for the next week to focus on that one thing. Now maybe you're an overachiever and you got two or three. That's great. Focus on those. But I want you to focus on that. And I want you to validate yourself and say, I know my Father is well pleased with me because of this. And focus on that. We've got enough people running around saying, you didn't do, you stink at this, you stink at that. And God, help us if it's our family that's doing it to us. But I want you to know that your Father loves you. And I want you to know that He is well pleased. As a band comes up, we're going to sing Good, Good Father. And I want us to sing that song out today for a couple reasons. I want us to sing it out because we believe it and we know it, that He is a good, good Father. I want us to sing it out because Dwayne always talked about when there's energy and when you're bouncing around one another, that energy builds. And it becomes contagious. And I want us to sing it out so that He can sense and feel and see the energy that we have as we sing about the Father today on Father's Day. Heavenly Father, may You bless us today where we are. May You be well pleased in us for the things that we do and the things that we say. Holy Spirit, we invite You just to take control and charge of our lives today. Lord, we ask You to lift us up as a church body, that we're here for Michelle and family. Lord, that we can prepare. Just as we lift up Dwayne and celebrate his life, we give You glory and honor and praise for where he stands today in Your presence. Lord, be with us as a church body. Surround us. Lift us up with hope and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed and amazing Father's Day. God bless you.